Amen, amen. We're in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to actually read a couple other verses tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11, just one verse in Hebrews. And then if you also want to turn to Matthew chapter 24. Brother Jeff, good to see you tonight, brother. Amen. Love you. Been praying for you, I know. Amen, church. Brother Becker, just after a long day, snuck in. Amen. He thought he was just going to be able to sneak under the radar, but we love you, Brother Jeff, and your family, and many of us just had prayer for you, amen, and your family, so praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll just read that one verse, and then we'll be seated, and then we'll go over to Matthew chapter 24, and we want to preach tonight on the subject of faith for Noah's days, faith for Noah's days. So would you stand with me if you're physically able? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7 will be our reading tonight. Hebrews 11, 7. And then we'll have several other scriptures tonight. But we'll read this one verse together tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. Ready? Let's begin. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Father, please bless your word to our hearts now in these brief moments in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, go over to Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24, and this is just the preparatory reading here for us. And we'll get into our message tonight. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 36, please, church. And when you find it, just catch up there. The Bible says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." We're preaching on this subject tonight of faith for Noah's days. We've preached on the subject of have faith in God. Amen, amen. Have faith in God's word. Have faith in God's ways. Have faith in God's will. God knows better than we do. Amen. And He's not made a mistake yet. He won't start with you and I. Then we preached on the subject of the faith, contending for the faith. And we talked about that body of Christian doctrine that we believe that's not for sale. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not only not for sale, it's not for compromise either. There are some things we just can't let go of. We can't let go of the virgin birth. We can't let go of the blood atonement. We can't let go of this blessed book. Amen. We can't let go of the bodily resurrection. Just can't. That is the faith. Then we looked at the importance of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Then we looked at the subject of little faith. And we talked about how when we have little faith, it produces fretfulness and fearfulness and forgetfulness of God's blessings. Then our fifth message, we preached on the subject of great faith and how great faith manifests itself in love for others and a reverence for Christ and a generosity toward others and humility before Christ and bringing the need to Christ and knowing that Christ can meet our need and worshiping Him and persevering prayer to Jesus. Great faith. And then in our last message, we talked about the subject of increasing our faith. And how do we do that? Well, we talked about fixing our hearts upon God's promises. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. And then we talked about not only fixing our hearts upon God's promises, but requesting more faith. I love the story in the Bible in Mark chapter 9 of the man with the son possessed of a devil. And you know what he said? Jesus said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible." Brother Jim, I think this is one time I think I could say I would have said what he said. "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." And you know what he was saying? Give me more faith. Please give me more faith. I want to be able to trust you more. And so thirdly, we talked about how to increase our faith. Look unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Why? He's the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Then we talked about trusting the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Amen. We talked about reading the Word of God. Amen. And how important that is. We talked about standing for the faith. Stand for the faith. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. And then we talked about using the shield of faith is a way that we can increase our faith. You know, it doesn't make any sense, ladies and gentlemen, to take that sword of the Spirit and go out and meet the devil if you don't have the shield of faith. You know why? He's going to throw his fiery darts at us. And you can't block them with a sword, but you can block them with the shield of faith. They quench the fiery darts. Well, in Matthew 24, we have here the Sermon on the Mount. And really the key to understanding Jesus' prophetic teachings in this passage, chapter 24 and chapter 25, is really contained in verse number 3 of Matthew chapter 24. I don't know if you're there. If you're not, let me just read it to you. What it says here, it's the questions that the disciples ask. And it says, "And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and his disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? And when shall be the end of the world?" And so they're asking these questions of prophetic teaching. And in these chapters, Jesus describes the characteristics and conditions of the last days. And in the passage that we read in chapter 24, verses 36 through 44, he specifically mentions the days of Noah. "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall also it be the coming of the Son of Man." If you'll know your Bible, and I know many in this room know your Bibles very well, you know that the days of Noah were categorized by several things. I have seven here. You could probably put more on that. I think, first of all, we see spiritual decline in the days of Noah. You know, if you go back to chapter 4 of Genesis, and the end verse there, verse 26, it talks about the birth of Seth there after he had Cain and Abel, and the birth of Seth. And then it says, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord and worship God." And then you have the genealogies in chapter 5 that tell us so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. And I know you read those quick just like I do. Amen. But then in chapter 6, we find that the world is so wicked that God decides to flood the world. I would say that would be spiritual decline. Amen. To go from calling upon the name of the Lord to when wickedness reigns. I think also of, if you know your Bibles, the social dilemma there. Not only spiritual decline, but social dilemma. Back in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 11 and 12, it says that the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way. This is just my opinion on the subject, but I'll get away from the pulpit here. But I think if you'll study Genesis chapter 6 verse 2, and you'll look at Jude as well, I think, again, this is just my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, that you have, what you have there is angelic beings, these fallen angels having a relationship with the daughters of men, and you have all these giants that are born, and all of a sudden the world is corrupt. That's a social dilemma, ladies and gentlemen. Social dilemma. You know what else we see? We see shameless depravity. Verse number 5 of Genesis 6 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his hearts was only evil continually." What an indictment upon man. You know what else I see? I see simple distraction in Matthew chapter 24, verse 38. You say, what does it say there? It says, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage." You say, what's wrong with any of that, Pastor? Nothing. Nothing. They were just distracted. Mama Holland, you mentioned your acquaintances. Just distracted. Just distract. You know, the devil specializes in distraction. You know how many people are in hell tonight because they just got distracted from the things of God? They just got distracted from hearing the gospel. There's a simple distraction. There's also strong delusion according to that text there. It says, and knew not until the flood came. The Bible talks about in the last days that many will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Thank God, though, by the way, there was spiritual decline and social dilemma and shameless depravity and simple distraction and strong delusion, but there was some devotion. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And what does it say about Noah? It says that he was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Thank God for that. It's really the key to understanding this passage. But then, you know, lastly, what there was sudden destruction in Noah's day, wasn't there? It says, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Ladies and gentlemen, today that we can see from all of these above that Noah's day and more has come upon us. Hey, our day is certainly a day of spiritual decline. Our day is certainly a day of social dilemma. Can I get an amen there? Our day is certainly a day of shameless depravity and simple distractions and strong delusion. But you know what? Thank God for some devotion. Thank God for some devotion. Thank God for people that on Sunday, they say, you know, the whole world may be doing something else, but we're going to bring our little family to church. And we're going to hear the Word of God. I thank God for that. Some devotion. You know what we need in these days? The same thing Noah had. Faith. That's what we need. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, you see what it says about Noah. And it's amazing how it bookends the verse. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. You know what we need? We need faith for Noah's days. We're in the days of Noah. Absolutely. You'd have to be blind not to see it. Let me give you 4 points and a whole bunch of sub-points tonight. I look over at Brother Hendershot, but he's not there. Amen. And number one, the basis of Noah's faith. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. I think from this text we can see 3 things. One of them is back in Genesis chapter 6 where it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I believe the first basis for Noah's faith and the first basis for our faith is the grace of God. The grace of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, we don't deserve salvation. Hey, the fact is we don't deserve one blessing of God. But He's gracious. He's gracious. So the basis of Noah's faith was based on the grace of God. It was also based on the Word of God, according to our text. It says, Noah being what? What does it say? Being warned of God. You know what that means? That God told Noah exactly what he was going to do. And you read Genesis chapter 6. He warned Noah. You know what that is? That's simply the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the basis for our faith is certainly the grace of God. But it's also the Word of God. Everything I know about God is contained in these covers. Everything. Everything. It's the basis of Noah's faith. It's the basis of our faith today. Not only the grace of God and the Word of God, but also according to verse number 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with what? Fear. You know what else was the basis of Noah's faith, Brother Wright? The fear of God. The true fear of God. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about the fear of the Lord, the fear of God. Psalm 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1:29 talks about they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 2:5 says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 15:16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 16:6, by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Proverbs 22:4, the fear of the by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Proverbs 23:17, be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. It keeps going, amen. Acts 9:31 talks about the fear of the Lord. And we could go on and on and on. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, Noah said, God said what he means and means what he said. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the way we need to live our lives. The fact that God said it ought to be enough. Amen? The basis of our faith, what is it? It's based on the grace of God. It's based on the Word of God. It's based on the fear of God. So the basis for Noah's faith. Then we have the firmness of Noah's faith. And also in verse 7, if you look at it, it says there in Hebrews 11:7, it says, by faith, Noah being warned of God, and look at these next words, ladies and gentlemen, of things not seen as yet. Boy, that's a firm faith. That's a firm faith. Do you remember when Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas said, except I see the prints in his hands and the spear in his side, I'll not believe it. And Jesus appeared and he said, Thomas, go ahead, put your finger in the prints and put your hand in my side and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas fell on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. And he said to Thomas, he said, Thomas, you've seen and believed. But blessed are they who have not seen and have yet believed. Hey, that's what Noah was. Do you know when Noah started building that ark, it wasn't raining. It wasn't sprinkling. It wasn't drizzling. It never had rain. There was a mist that came up out of the ground. But you know what he did? He had a firmness about his faith. He hadn't seen it yet. You know, you read in Hebrews chapter 11, if you look down at verse number 8, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. That's still amazing, ladies and gentlemen. I remember going to Bible college, and I knew I had to get on I-90. I was in Massachusetts. I-90 turned into I-80 there. And I knew we had to get on that road. God just told Abraham, just get out of your country. And Abraham said, okay. And just started walking. Think about that. That faith, that firmness of faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Think about that. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. The firmness of his faith. But I think also, thirdly, not only the basis of his faith, the firmness of his faith, but also the evidence of his faith. And really, each one of these points deserves more time, but I've just got to throw them at you. It's already 8:05 here. I see, first of all, and we talked about it here, he moved by the fear of God, according to verse 7. That was the evidence of his faith. Another evidence was that he prepared the ark of God. That was an evidence that he believed God. And it says it right there in verse 7. Something else that we learned from a parallel passage, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, was that he preached the word of God. Noah was the first bivocational preacher. He had a carpenter and doing all the things of building the ark, and the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. And for that 120 years that it took to build the ark, that God said he's going to give Noah that amount of time, that he preached the word of God, he preached judgment is coming, and get in the ark, and judgment is coming. And by the way, doesn't that sound like our message? Listen, God is going to judge, and thank God for the ark of safety that is Jesus Christ. That we got in that ark, and you know what we're saying? You know what our job is? Hey, come on in the ark. It's safe in here. It's safe from the flood of judgment. Amen. He was a preacher of righteousness. He preached the word of God. He saved the people for God, his own family. Thank God for that. It says there that to the saving of his house. You know what else, according there to the rest of the verse, that he condemned the world by God. You know, faith condemns unbelief. Did you know that? Faith condemns unbelief. You read where those great verses in John chapter 3, I think of course we know verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. The fact that you and I believe, the fact that you and I have faith, condemns those with unbelief. Well, I could never believe that. How many times have we heard that? I could never believe that. By the way, I always say, I think you have more faith than I do if you believe in evolution. I could never believe that. I just believe in an almighty God. He condemned the world by God. And then fourthly, the reward of Noah's faith, the basis of Noah's faith, the firmness of Noah's faith, the evidences of Noah's faith, and then the reward of Noah's faith. Noah became an heir of righteousness. He's in God's hall of faith here in Hebrews chapter 11. Let me give you four quick applications for these days of Noah. What should we? First of all, we should be right. We should be right. Hey, listen. By God's grace, God's word, and God's fear, Noah was right when everybody else was wrong. Come on, church, help me now. Noah was right when and listen, you and I can be right. We should not only be right, but we should think right. I said it before, if God said it, that settles it. We should think right. We should think biblically, amen. Get acquainted with His word. You know what? We should do right. Faith without works is dead, being alone. We should do right. Our faith should translate into works. For Noah, his faith translated into the building of the ark and the preaching of the word of God. For us, it should be calling people into the ark. Come on in. Come on in. It's safe in here. And then lastly, not only be right, think right, do right. And by faith, all these are by faith. Love right. Love right. Let me give you a close with an illustration here. Thinking about that passage that we were talking about before where it talks about the firmness of Noah's faith. And now he hadn't seen these things yet. I think of the verse in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7 says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. Though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Little Emily looked up into the face of her father, who was an unbeliever, and asked in a sweet, childish way, Papa, Do you love Jesus? Jesus died, my dear, long, long ago. He was crucified, and that was the end of him, her father said. But Jesus rose again and did what no other man could do. If Jesus is not living right now, we would not be living either, because he gives us life and everything else, doesn't he, Papa? Said the child, who had learned her Sunday school lessons well. Let me stop and say, Sunday school teachers, you matter. You helpers, they listen. They listen. Perhaps that is true. But how can I love someone whom I have never seen? Tell me that, my dear. Emily at first did not know what to say to her father. But she looked secretly pleased to know, her father had looked secretly pleased to know that he had finally silenced her. After a while, however, she said, Papa, how old was I when Mama died? He said, only about 6 months, my child. Then I can't say that I ever saw her, for I don't remember her at all. But you have always tried to make me love her by telling me how good and kind she was. I do love her too, although I have never seen her that I can remember. By this time, hot tears were running down the father's cheeks. Kissing little Emily, he said, God has spoken to me by you, my dear, and now you must pray for me and ask God to give me a new heart with which I shall love Jesus as you do. The Holy Spirit having done his work, the Father's prayer was soon answered. You know, if you love Christ, friend, your life and actions will show it. Amen? One cannot truly love without giving. And Jesus placed a special blessing upon those who believe and love him, even though they have never seen him with their physical eyes. To every Christian, Jesus directs the gracious words, that ye that have not seen and have yet believed are blessed. You know what that should produce in us? Love. Whom having not seen, ye love, and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Father, thank you, Lord, that you give each of us the measure of faith. I pray that you would help us to, Lord, to be right. Lord, first of all, number one, to be saved. Or perhaps there's even one in our midst that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh, Lord, I pray that you please be with them, bless them, help them to be able to trust you. Lord, but for those of us that are, help us to be right and think right and do right. And Lord, most importantly, to love right. You said that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Lord, help us tonight. Bless, Lord, as we conclude our service tonight. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, just help us to have the faith for Noah's day. Help us to, Lord, to walk as Noah walked. Help us not to be distracted or, Lord, delayed by what's going on around us, but help us to look to you to find grace in your eyes, Lord, and to be walk pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. How about two?